Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Reach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Libby Leffler is the founder and CEO of First. Libby has been a builder, an operator, an executive inside of generation-defining companies like Google, Facebook, and SoFi for the last 20 years. Libby has been named one of the 50 most influential women in America casual by Marie Claire and has been included on Fortune's Most Powerful Women's Next Gen list and has appeared on MSNBC and has been recognized in the pages of Forbes, Fortune, and Entrepreneur. Libby is a boss-ass bitch, graduate of UC Berkeley and Harvard Business School with high honors. I mean, I don't even know what when else I could say. She's the shit. Welcome, Libby. Hi, Libby.
Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be part of your pod and that none of us is so busy that we couldn't make time for this. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Here we are. I mean, we have a funny journey. Like you started, I think, did you find me on Yelp?
Found you online. So for context, we've known each other now.
Like 8 years.
Almost a decade. Yeah. Like 8 years. And I had moved from California to Boston and I'd gotten engaged and I was looking for someone to take some engagement photos. My now husband and I were living on the East Coast. And so
you're now hot doctor husband.
Yes.
Yes.
And I found you and
to clarify,
you were like, just people had the best reviews and things to say about you. And then I reached out to you and then you were just like, so fast to respond. So on top of it.
That's and me, honey.
Like I always want to work with people that are like,
as quick,
on it.
Yeah,
building.
Me too.
That's you guys. Right. And so we just totally, that was it. And then we did a bunch of different things together. And then like you came over to my apartment in Cambridge mm-hmm. the morning I graduated from business school.
I did your makeup. You like were OG yeah. era when I was a makeup artist. I did your makeup. Yeah. I think you were doing a speech at Harvard like for graduation.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Did I come?
Yeah. And I remember being so inspired because I was watching you like with your flashcards and I was like, I would be literally like going to the bathroom in my underwear right now if this was me. And this girl's like, no, you weren't. You were casually sitting so like demure and you were just like looking at your note cards like, I'm doing your makeup. I'm like, this girl, like she's something. She's someone.
She said mindful.
You're mindful. You were cutesy. You were cutesy.
It was cutesy. It was demure. It was giving. Giving Harvard.
You're just like a lot of things though. I feel like
you, but I always felt that way about you. I mean, I think sometimes you meet people, you connect. This is way before the Carly COO boss days. This is like, I want to be the COO. And you're like, how do we get like you to be the COO?
So
like,
weird. It is weird.
It was like, I remember like those conversations, like what would it mean to like be the COO of this business? Like, what I'm going to build, like the vision of like, I'm going to build this thing that's like the biggest thing in the U.S.
You have a good memory.
No one's ever built this.
You do have a really good memory. I actually now remember that conversation because we were asking you corporate questions and we were like all confused. And I remember you were like kind of helping us and coaching us on what all that meant. Because this was when we were in like a 2,500 square foot space. Yeah. It wasn't like we were like, it wasn't a big business at that point. It was super small. And it, like you were so interesting to us.
I mean, I guess from where I sit and where I sat then, I wouldn't say it wasn't a big business. I mean, you had built from the snowstorm.
True.
You know what I mean?
I guess like, true. It had grown.
Story. That, but like, that's the story. Everyone builds their business from something, some idea, some like flicker of something. And then you built this thing. And at that time, I mean, it was like people loved it. It was like a very serious thing that you had built. But you had just like so much ambition for more. I thought that was really powerful. And I think that when you surround yourself with people like that, like if you are like that, you instantly connect.
100%. I was instantly obsessed with you. Like you were like, just,
we loved you.
You were an inspiration to me then. And you still are now. I've always come back to you. Like, you know, there's some clients you work with and then like, they just kind of disappear. You became a friend.
She got her Facebook unhacked.
Yeah. You got our Facebook unhacked.
Do we know each other?
But no, yeah, we've done three photo shoots together too. Like, and I remember Carly and I traveled to New York City once together to do a photo shoot specifically for you. I remember we stayed, that was the hotel we stayed in, the small room.
Yeah.
And we were like sleeping on top of each other, like in a sardine can.
We left the hotel.
Hustling. Yeah, it was not good. We left that hotel.
We're very big, like, leave the hotel if we don't like it,
people. Absolutely.
Oh, I've never done that, but I'll have
what?
To.
What?
Oh, it's a great.
Join the club. It's the best game that's ever existed.
It's a tough game to enter because you never leave.
My mom's the worst. Like, we'll look at each other. We'll go on trips, us three. We'll look at her to see like what, how she's going to react. Like she'll look at the room and she'll be like, no. And I'm like, okay.
It's like 10 out of 10 times.
Grabs her bag downstairs, like immediate. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I definitely these days, I like commit to the hotel mostly because if I'm traveling, you know, I have two young kids.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about
traveling,
that.
I'm optimizing for, I usually am trying to like not miss. If I can, I don't want to miss dinner or bedtime, or right. I don't want to miss breakfast and school drop off or something. And so I'm like at the hotel, like at the last second, I'm like 11:59 PM check in. And I have like an 8 AM meeting. So I just commit and crash and whatever, but that's really funny.
So you're like this interesting human animal being. That's just like an anomaly is the way I look at you. You're just like, you're, first of all, I think of you as a genius. Like to me, you are a genius, whatever that means.
I'm really excited to talk about FIRST though, because I really think that's super smart.
It's a really cool business you've launched, but you've had like, I feel like 75 careers that are like all bomb. Like they're just insane careers. And you went to Harvard and graduated high honors. Like, can you give us the story here of like your, and then also married this incredible doctor, Mike, who I love, Dr. Mike, and he's like, was on Dr. Oz and like is like known for so many things. Like, yeah. It's just like a cool story. Tell us the story.
So, okay, I grew up in the Central Valley. I'm like, let's go back to the
80s. Back to the when I was born.
So in 1963.
That's the year my mom was born also.
But you know what I mean. Okay. So all of this starts with, I'm the oldest of three. I really think birth order plays a total role in all of this. And I think it's interesting to see as you have kids, how that plays out. And I've just always been very curious for knowledge, like interested in learning more. I grew up in kind of not a small town now, but I grew up in the Central Valley in California. My family works in the real estate business. And so I was always around and was really benefited from, like you in many ways, right? With your parents and kind of their entrepreneurialism and their path. My parents were self-made, are self-made business people, worked in the real estate industry. My mom is still working today, has worked since she was 16. So I was always around that. Like work was just part of the fabric of our family and life. And it wasn't like there was a big division between like your personal life and work. It was just like, it's just like the flow, right? Like the flow of our lives. And so I remember some of my like most interesting days and best days growing up were like going to my mom or dad's office and like hearing how they took business calls or how my mom would like, you know, talk to clients or do marketing calls or all of that. And so I was around that from the earliest days, like hearing about things over the dinner table as part of regular conversation. So that's something that is like a real, but I think when you hear those things, you learn the language of business, sales, negotiation, how to connect with people. My dad was like a great connector with people and he cared a lot about people. And, you know, he was a commercial real estate broker. So he worked in sales his entire career, like almost 50 years on commission. Right. And so that's, and through multiple real estate recessions. So that's kind of where I came from. I never fit in, like never fit in growing up, like not popular, not, you know, so.
I find that surprising.
Well, I'm like very studious, I think that's really important for people to know. Because I definitely think it pushed me out of that sort of world pretty quickly. And so when I went to Berkeley, which is not that far from where I live, but couldn't be further apart in terms of everything, right? Like I grew up in a very agricultural kind of almost a rural, especially at that point in time, part of California, a small part of California, and then went to Berkeley, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, very like global student body, huge public university, a lot of like different thinking. It was just a total, it was like a total eye opener in terms of what the world looked like. Like I came from like, I had just the smallest slice of like what the world culturally would look like. And suddenly I was in classes with 750 people. And there were people that like did not grow up. And this was their first time in the US.
Interesting. Did you like it? And
I loved it. It was so interesting. I mean, I lived at college with people that were college athletes, like major college athletes that had such interesting paths. And they were like, just, I mean, talk about like hardworking and work ethic. I mean, these were people, I would see them like leaving the dorm at, you know, 4:30 in the morning to go to practice. Right. And see them in the afternoon, like crazy. Yeah. Just that. So that was amazing to be around. And I think who you're around influences you so much. So 100%. I was around business people and hardworking people. And there was never like a conversation of, oh, like, I'm just going to give up or like, right. It was always like, well, let's figure out a different path forward, whatever. And so my brother and sister now work in the real estate industry. I probably, that's an obvious path for me, but being at Berkeley in the Bay Area at the time I was, opened my eyes up to all these big companies, right, that were becoming household sort of tools and products like Google. Facebook came out when I was at Berkeley. And then, you know, I kind of decided to break off and see if I could make a go at it here. And I never look back.
That's incredible. So like, how did you, so the Facebook story is something I find very interesting. It's sort of like when I met you, that was like a big topic. You worked directly with Sheryl Sandberg, as I remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like everyone did, cause she was the CEO of the company, but yes, I worked with Sheryl. I was at Facebook for 7 years. So, it was life-changing. It was a life-changing experience working with just incredibly super smart people. But like, that's another example of, I left Berkeley, went to go work at Google, left Google after about 18 months, maybe almost 2 years, and went to go to Facebook, which was much smaller than Google at the time. And at the time, I just remember thinking, gosh, I'm so motivated to do so much more and have an impact. And it's like, I was like seeking out where I could go that would just have like this abundance of learning and work and whatever before I really knew what that was. And so Google, it's just different. It was a lot bigger than Facebook was. Facebook was growing. It was like hyper growth mode. And I did like probably a different job there every 18 to 20 months, right? You kind of change roles and, you know, started in sales. And then I worked later in business development and partnerships. And then after that, I went to HBS. But I mean, it was a huge life-changing experience for me, and being around all these people that were just brilliant people. It's almost like by osmosis. You like absorb.
It's weird you say that word.
The intelligence.
That's the theme I hear so far in your story, is like through osmosis, you became what you are, like the genetic makeup of everything you've absorbed over time, like from your parents, from these corporate settings. It's like, it became you in a way. Like it just became who you are.
Well, your story is interesting though. Cause like someone would hear it and be like, real estate agent. Like she's going to be a real estate agent or something like that. But I love that you didn't do that. Like you were like, I'm not doing it. Did it not interest you?
Well, I am a real estate salesperson. I just don't sell real estate.
Interesting.
I am a real estate agent.
Of course you are.
If you ever need, if anyone on this pod ever needs, to connect with a real estate agent in California, call me. I have many friends I can connect you with.
I should have known. I'm an idiot.
You're like, and you're not. And I'm like, actually I am.
Of course you are.
No. but like that, yeah, that I had actually, the story on that is interesting. So in the summers, when I was at Berkeley, I used to come home. This is before, like now people do all these like very corporate internships, like college students. It seems that they're working in like what used to be kind of like the job you would get after college. They like work in these jobs now. Right. But like I would go home in the summer because I lived only about 90 minutes away from Berkeley's campus. And I would go home in the summer and live at home and work in, you know, my family's like real estate office, or like I worked as my dad's, you know, 1 year as like his receptionist and like kind of like his assistant, and went around with him and kind of learned his business. And that summer I took all the continuing education classes for the real estate salesperson's license, which you have to do a number of different things like real estate finance and real estate and the law and a bunch of other things. And so like a few years ago, I was like, oh wait, I had done all those classes. Like I should just go take my real estate exam. And so I called the Department of Real Estate and they're like, oh yeah, you can just like go take the exam. And so then I went and like did, I found and a crash course it. Online and studied. And then I was like, I did it.
You honestly, you are the person that like treats the world as their oyster. Like, I love that though. Like there wasn't like one path that you were, was there one path that you were like going for at that time?
It was never a path I was going for. In fact, I always felt that everyone else knew their path and I was like lost.
That is so funny. It's Mike, so funny. The perception. Well,
you brought up Mike, like, okay, my husband, he has told me since I met him that he knew, maybe didn't know that he was like, I'm gonna be it. But he was like at age 3 and 4, he was interested in like the science of his pet's health.
Interesting.
Like later on when he had like a dog.
I'm interested in that too.
Oh, yeah. I used to get like the dog. You know, I used to like go to the vet and then like ask them all about like the vaccinations and all the things like that. Like he was very interested in being a doctor from very early on. Doesn't know where it came from. Doesn't not, that's like not in his family. It's not something he's like, oh, my dad's a doctor. My mom's a doctor. So it's like, how do people know what they want to be? Like, how do you guys know what you want to be?
It's funny. I recorded something this morning about that. I knew that I wanted to go to school for business and I knew I wanted to open a business that had a relation to makeovers. And I remember writing in a journal once that was like, it would be called A Beautiful You. So creative. And that was like the basis of what I was going to school for, was to create that. And obviously it wasn't so far off, but I knew I wanted to be a business owner. I think because of the osmosis of watching my family. And I've actually recently just had this conversation with someone on our company retreat. They were asking like, they were like, oh, we're so happy we get to be the people that like go to work and like leave work at home at the office. Like that we love that life. And I was like, it's really funny you say that. I've never known that life. Everyone I've ever been around always had the life where like 9 to 5 didn't exist. So from my perspective of osmosis, I never knew that a 9 to 5 could be a thing. So I always knew I was going to live an unconventional kind of like business owner life. Just frankly, I don't even know if I could give myself credit for it. It's because it was all I knew. It was all I ever had seen. So yeah. That was my goal.
For me, it was weird. I went to school for psychology and I used to tell my mom I was going to be like a marriage counselor. Cause like I was the friend that was like so honest that like everyone would ask me about relationships and this and that. And I was like 1 year into psychology and I was like, nope, not ever doing that. Goodbye and have a good day.
But see that skill, there are so many people I think that get swept away, whether it's your major or your career or whatever, into things that like, you know, inside are not right for you.
It was a no.
The ability to say that is really important and powerful.
I agree.
And most people don't have the confidence.
And I switched.
They need permission or something.
I agree. I switched, or like their mom doesn't want them to do that or something, or their parents. Yeah. But I switched to communications and I was like, whoa, I love this. And then I always really said when I went to college or when I was planning on not going, I never knew that I was going to run somebody else's business. Like I never wanted to be the owner of the business, but I knew I could run it back end and be back end. And that's what I love to do. Because just like you, we grew up hiding in like my dad's carpets of like his.
We grew up hiding in my dad's carpets.
No, what is it? Like the
carpet samples.
The carpet samples. Rachel and I would play hide and seek and we just like. I loved it. I would listen to my dad's phone calls. My mom was always on the phone selling. Like, I loved it.
I find it very interesting, though, the topic of, like, finding your purpose or finding your passion. And, like, someone like you, like, from the outside, like, you're looking at you, like, on paper. And you're like, oh, she's got it all figured out. Like, she knows. No. Meanwhile, in your head, you're like, I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? Like, it's so interesting to me, the perception of life, right? Like, you could look at someone and you just never know what's going on behind closed doors. And it's, like, very interesting how somebody can keep it together, which is also, like, soul busy to me in a way. You know, like, how you're living through passion and everything you do is just exuding that, but you're just figuring it out as you go.
Yeah. That is exactly right. I also think it's so easy to look at people from the outside or like you go to someone's LinkedIn and you're like, oh, this person like went here and then they went there and then they did this and they did that. It's like, there's a lot of failure and falling down and, you know, hard hard won sort of battles in the journey that people don't see. A lot of sacrifice. Like, I'm not the kind of, like I said, you know, in high school and all that, you know, I was not the person probably someone would call to be like, let's go like to this party, like would never have been invited to anything like that. Because I was really focused on, there's something else out there for me. How do I unlock that for myself? And the only way I could think of that is like, I got to study, I need to figure it out. I'll apply to colleges, I'll go to college. And, you know, I went to Berkeley, which is a great university. It's a public, you know, it's a public school in California. I was lucky to have a lot of merit-based scholarships and other things. I mean, there's a lot of, you have to really acknowledge, like growing up around parents that are in business owners in the business world. This is why I love podcasts. And I love that the internet unlocks these types of stories for people, because there are so many people that don't have access to anything like that. They don't have, they don't see that in around them. They're not growing up with that.
It's kind of like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
It's like, right? But it's like how you say you grew up and then you went to Berkeley and your eyes were open. Isn't that like every, it's a very interesting life path. Like, and I sometimes think about that with politics, honestly, because my compassion is towards everyone. Cause I'm like, your life was your tunnel. So obviously everybody has their own opinions of how they view the world and their politics and their POVs. And it's just like, I think that's such an important thing to always remember, you know, is that everyone's living the life through their eyes, you know?
But I love the talk of sacrifice, because
same.
When you really think about it, like some people would be like jealous if they go to somebody's LinkedIn and they see all these things, but it's like, you deserve those things if you sacrificed partying or, and not that you can't do both. I'm not saying that, but I just, you know what I mean? Like, you deserve those things when you are studying and not going out or skipping a class.
And putting the work in.
Well, no, it's true though. Like, you don't think about that as a college student. Like, you were like ahead of yourself, whatever age you were, and you probably still are, like with your wisdom. Yeah.
And I was also really, to me, because I had worked hard and gotten some scholarships and then I worked in the summers and stuff. And so there was a lot in the journey of like, okay, I'm going to be here for 4 years. I was in a business major that required you to graduate in 2 years. So you started that major in your junior year and you finish by the end of your senior year. There wasn't a lot of buffer for, like, if you've ever heard of people taking a gap year or time, whatever, that was never
in the cards.
Yeah. That was just never, I was just like, okay, I'm going to graduate and like go to work. Right. And the other thing I think that's really helped me, cause you talk about like the 9 to 5, like I love leaving and that's there and I'm home. Right. If you're an entrepreneur, you run a business, you partner with someone to run a business, that is not how it goes. Right. It's ever. Like there's the 9 to 5 where you're like with most of your team or whatever, 8 to 6 or whatever it is. And then, you know, there's the other time is how do I catch up on the things I need to do? How do I prepare for a conversation like this so I can show up here and make sure that this is a really great conversation? How do I, oh, I got to write. You know, I need to write a bunch of stuff. I need to get back to all these people. There's all that other stuff. And so then the question's like, how do you, like in the old days when I didn't have when I wasn't married and didn't have kids, I would just like, I'm very much kind of early to rise, get a lot done in the morning, can get my work done, keep going. Like there's not a lot that will shut me off. But now things have really changed, right? I think if you can get into the flow of thinking of as work as part of your life and existence and you're in a Agreed. Flow state on it, then you can be better, more creative. It's not annoying to you. Like the idea of, hey, someone calls me on a Saturday to talk about a business thing. You're not like, oh, I'm like not on the clock. It's like, it's just casual. It's like, hey, what's up? Oh, wait, I like that idea. You may have more space to think about it. You may have more space to be creative. And when someone told me that they thought about their life in work as a flow, like what if you thought about your work as your playground?
Agreed.
Like our kids go to, I think, do your kids go to school yet?
Preschool.
Okay, preschool. And they play at preschool? They do.
All day. That's what
preschool is. Like Hope's in preschool. So
Lily came home yesterday, literally covered head to toe in dirt.
Like, amazing.
I couldn't even get it off
the tub. That was how you thought. And it may be right about the work that you do. Like today I get to go do this podcast with two people I really respect. That's so cool.
We're literally the same.
You're organically soul busy to me. Like the definition of everything you say is it's not like a phase of life. It's like a being of thought, right? Like, so to me, sacrifice is soul busy. And I resonate so much with, I'm so glad you brought that up too and like responded to that, because when I look back at my college years, although my sacrifice sort of was sometimes rooted in trauma or like family issues that were going on, like whatever it was, I was broke and needed to make money. So like when my friends would go out, I would stay in, I would be editing photo shoots or like I was doing anything I could to just stay afloat. My whole career is marked by sacrifice. And to this day, to be soul busy in the midst of the chaos of the life that I am living, to remain happy and peaceful through the speed of life and the hustle that I'm living and not crash, requires that I sacrifice in all areas always. The sacrifice always changes. What I'm sacrificing, it could be a night of a girls' night. It could be that I'm sacrificing getting in bed and watching a TV show with Mike. Like last night, he came upstairs and he was like, let's watch a new show. And I was like, I'm itching to go do a meditation bath and I want to read tonight. And like I got in bed and I read about ROAS for ad spend for about an hour. And I know, which is really weird. I'm sending Carly pictures and I got in bed and I, speaking of Facebook for Meta, and I literally got in the bath and I did like bell meditations. And like that was me sacrificing my night to be well, to continue to the next path in my journey, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. You're really good at this. It really inspires me like from afar when I see it, but it's a great example of like, you see other people from the outside, like, wow, she started this business. Like she has so many people that work on her team, so many, and she like makes time to do that and meditate and do this practice and look great and like do all this stuff. And she has a pod with Carly and they do this. And then you're like, oh my God, it's so true that comparison is the thief of the joy. If there's nothing I can communicate in this other than that, it really is like, you can't live your life looking at other people and wishing for what they have, because you just don't know. You don't know what people have been through. You don't know. You never know. You can never like really know. No, and you see that from the outside and it's like, oh, I don't have a meditation practice. And I was even, you know, Carly, I was like texting Rach about this and was like, hey, so like you have Soul Busy and there's all these people on here who are like, this is like kind of what I do and like my thing. And I'm like, I don't feel that way. Like
you don't need to.
But it's like, maybe I'm soul busy in my way.
You are. You are so organically soul busy. It's insane.
You're soul busy in our way too. We're very similar in that thought process, which I love because it's like hard to find people who are on that same wavelength consistently.
Yeah.
I think like also though, like you can kind of do whatever. I was saying this yesterday in a meeting. We were talking about just the podcast in general. And I started this new gluten-free and dairy-free diet. Like I've just been trying it. And like old me would have been like, that's so hard. Like I could never do that. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I literally said to myself, I was like, I am not saying that anymore. Like I am literally not allowing myself to say something is so hard. Cause like, is it, right. Is that really hard? And yeah. And like, you know what I mean? Like, I look at Rachel too and I'm like, how did you do your hair when you have two kids? You're fucking pissing me off. Like, and you also ate breakfast. Like you're annoying. Yeah. But I'm also like, okay, she woke up at 5 o'clock.
4 in the morning, right? Or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm able to like kind of understand why. And then like, I follow the lead on that and I'm like, oh. This isn't hard.
It's
like,
not hard. It's like, just you have to know how to do it.
And again, I don't have kids, so it's different. And when I do have kids, like my life will change. Obviously, I'm so sure of that. But it's just interesting. Like your mindset and the way you live your life, just it's super interesting. Because some people don't want to wake up and meditate. And some people don't want extra time in the morning. And some people don't want to look good and just want to follow their kids around and do whatever. Like it doesn't matter. Like to each their own. But it's interesting. People.
Like who are those? I was like, more time.
They exist.
I read this thing. You'll have to check it out, and you may have seen it. It was like some schedule, like that Mark Wahlberg wakes up at 2:30 in the morning.
I've seen that.
Or he wakes up something like that. So he like wakes up at 2:30 in the morning, and then he like works out, and then he eats breakfast, and then he does this, and then he golfs. But like, it was like, he golfs for 45 minutes and everyone was like, how do you golf for like 45 minutes? And then he does this and that with his family and stuff.
I believe and it.
I think that's totally true. I mean, if you look at successful people, like Martha Stewart has always famously said for decades, like that she's never needed a lot of sleep. I think she says, has been quoted as saying she sleeps 4 to 5 hours a night. Wow. Kris Jenner, I think, has said she wakes up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning to begin her day and probably starts taking calls with people on the East Coast and in other parts of, you know, the world. And so I don't think you have to be an early, the point is not being an early riser. I am definitely a very early riser, but I think the point is just starting your day, like Carly said, with that, you're just getting in the flow. It's like whatever the flow means for you. You're not starting it with, this is too hard.
Yeah.
Right. You're not starting it with like I don't want to do this today. This is the worst. You have to try. You have to try every day to wake up and be grateful that you woke up today. Like, I am grateful I woke up today. I could not have woken up today. You could not have woken up today. Mm-hmm. We are here. We are doing this. I'm grateful for the fact that we can speak and think clearly and have this conversation, and maybe like one person will listen to it. And maybe there will be something in it that someone's like, this changed my life.
Right.
I have a friend. I just have to say, I have to share this.
Please
I have
share. A friend.
And I did a podcast years ago when I was at SoFi, and it was about money and how you think about, and I'm very passionate about the conversation that people have about money. I think few people are comfortable talking about money. I think it's so important to talk about money.
It is.
Even if money is like not the motivator for you, because it's just the currency that we use to, you know, exactly. whether
are you saying exchange. Like with anybody or like in your relationship? Like,
I think it's important. I mean, I don't think you want to like walk around and be like, this is what I make. What do you make? But like,
you
I think
that money.
But I think like when you're in business,
yes,
especially women, like the men I know that are in business, they talk about deals they do together and they talk about this and that, and they use real numbers. And I encourage my friends when they're talking about negotiation, how to negotiate a job offer, whether to sell your company, whether to do this, you got to talk in real numbers. Cause it's like, it doesn't mean anything if you don't speak in real numbers. So people are afraid. They don't want to be like, this is what I make. This is what you make. Like, how do you do this? I did this podcast when I was at SoFi. And it was about women. It was largely focused on women and some of the trends that we had observed in customers, and how they paid off loans and how they saved and stuff. And that friend told me years later, she changed careers. She completely changed careers, like went into a completely different field. She was in sort of a sales-like career, but in a different sort of vertical. And she moved into a different type of sales career where she's like completely empowered to do her own. Sort of runs her own business. And she was like, I listened to that podcast one day in the car and it just inspired me to change everything. And I changed everything. And now it's like changed my destiny. And it had nothing to do with like me. It was more that she heard two people talking about how to think about money. You can make money. If you go into sales, there's no cap on what you can make. Here's what you can do. And for her, it was just life-changing. That was really powerful.
I definitely want to talk about the concept of money too, because I agree very much with you that it has to be a topic, and you've obviously started a business that's all around that conversation. So I think we have to dive into that.
Of course.
I want to just go back to what you guys said though, for a second about like me waking up or whatever, like, and you being an early riser. Everything that I do is premeditated. And I think that there's often this like stigma where people are like, oh, well, you do that, or like you have more hours in the day. I'm like, okay, I don't. And it's more about where the motivation's coming from for
definitely.
Me. Because like when you guys, like this morning, just for example, I woke up at 6. Like, I don't think that's that early. Today was my sleep in day. But when I woke up at 6, I had a plan. And not only that, my day started last night. Like, I went to bed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I knew what my morning was going to look like. It's extremely premeditated, but mm-hmm. I also knew what the steps of my morning were going to be and exactly how I was going to formulate that morning and when I would be filming content and when I would be texting somebody and like when I know all of that stuff. So, but the motivation for me comes from the alternative of what I would be like if I didn't do those things. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that I'm like special, different, or have more hours in the day or like
have more motivation. Yeah. It's literally just that, like, I don't want to be the person I know I would be if I didn't do those
things. You could have more motivation, though, and that's fine. That might motivate you, though.
What do you mean? Like, you think I have more motivation?
Yeah, I think you might. Yeah, I think.
But I'm motivated by not being the slumpy version of myself. Like, I know if I wake, roll out of bed, roll into my day, roll into my morning, then I'm going to be anxious. And I'm going to be like, and like my team's going to be relying on me. And I'm going to be like, not my best self. And if not my best self, then I feel like shit. I don't want to live my life. So it's like it's a choice I'm making, you know? Like, I feel like you make that choice.
I think that's right. And as we're talking about sort of how people are wired, I look back at myself from a really early age. I mean, I always was a super early riser. Again, I don't think you need to be an early riser, but like, I was always kind of like looking for stuff to do. Cause like no one, I would go to like a sleepover and everyone would sleep in till late. And I was like, okay, should I like read a book? Like what? And so probably in those hours, like I learn a lot in those hours. I do a lot in those hours. I catch up a lot in those hours when it's like quiet in the morning. In the evening, forget it. Like my brain is, I am shut down. I do not want to. I am not that version of myself where in the morning, it's just a much different.
Understood.
Right. I feel almost like the analogy I use is like when I go to sleep at night, I think about, it's almost like there are brooms that come and go like, and like,
I understand
and that. Sweep all the like dust off of my brain to like prepare it for tomorrow. So I really need sleep. Sleep is really important to me. I can't get 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
Same. Never.
And then, you know, I use those early hours, you know, really to my advantage. There's a woman who's a friend of mine and we used to work together, and at Meta, and she loves to share this quote, which I think is a quote from Arianna Huffington, which is about living your life as if things are rigged in your favor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
You lived your life as if this is your, you know, as if anything was possible, as if like, I think that's a really powerful It's a really powerful thought.
That sticks with
There's
me 100%.
There's a lot of this that's so mindset oriented.
It is mindset oriented.
Mindset oriented, I think.
Yeah, like, do you think you have like one specific motivation that like makes you do all the things that you do, or are you just like wired that way? Like if a friend came to you and was like, oh, I don't like my job. I don't, you know, like kind of complaining. I don't know if you have that or not, but like, what's your advice to people to like, you know, maybe have some of the attributes that you do, where someone's like looking up to you and like wanting to, you know, maybe be some version of you. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely been times I'm that person.
So, yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
I guess the, like, it's, again, it's like, it's not like, oh, well, she like loves this and she, it's like, you know, you never really know what's going on in people's minds.
Yeah.
I love creating, building, helping. I love helping. Like helping people. I love helping my kids. Like I want to help them be smart. I want to help them be kind. I want to help them work hard. I want to teach them things. I want to help them eat nutritiously. So when they, like, I tell my daughter, you know, before we go to school, like we eat, you know, we eat like some eggs and we eat this and we eat some fruit because it gives us power. And then she talks about it gives me power. Like I love like helping and teaching people. And I love my best and proudest moments at work. Truly. I've said this for a long time. It's very, very just core to my being. My best moments at work have always been when there was someone I knew either on my team or someone I worked with and getting them to a place that they never thought they could be.
That's very interesting.
Right. Like the days I've gotten texts in my career that are like, I finally got that promotion to director, or I took this big job, or I negotiated my job. I didn't think I could do it, but I negotiated for myself. Those are my proudest days because that's like real tangible impact.
Agreed.
The rest of it is just, you know, it's like, it's cool. And it's like great to build something and it's awesome. But those are the moments I'm like, that's like real humanity of like,
you live your purpose. That's really what it comes down to, which is a portion of Soul Busy.
And I think it's hard. I think it's hard to stay focused on that path. So there are days that are like not the best days, right? Where I feel like everything is nothing is going according to plan. Why is nothing going according to plan? And then, you know, I really see the next day as a reset. It's a chance to do things right. It's a chance to, you know, it's a chance to be like a better version and try to just reset ourselves.
Be your best self the next day and do something that will help you the next day. But on this topic of like putting the work in and what motivates you, I really love this topic of like comparison is the thief of joy. I think that could like even be the title of this episode because it's just, it really, you know, you did text me earlier in this week and you were like, I'm not feeling soul busy, which I found interesting because from where I sit, you are 100%. And like, it's not always like an up, it can be an up and down thing. Like you don't always need to be living. I don't think to me, it means that you're living this life perfectly. I think it means that you're living this life with purpose and passion. And like, you know how to get back to it when you fall off the ladder. And like, I think to the point you've made earlier in this conversation is like, I mean, I can say this about myself. I've fallen off more than I've gotten on. Yeah. It's like about how I get back on. Like I've just developed a skill set of like, when I eat shit, I figure out how to turn the shit into something beautiful. You know, that's just more of my skill set than anything else. But now
you mean like cake or you mean like, are you saying like when you eat bad?
No, I'm saying like just, metaphor, I was saying like, I'm eating shit, but like, I'm going to turn it into something great.
You were
great.
Saying like when you eat like shit.
No, it could have been like
Cool Ranch
when you fall on your face. No, but like you've recently had some like hardships, right? Like you, first of all, you just birthed a child. Like how old is your son?
I had a baby. He's he'll be one in November. So he's almost 10 months old.
He's delish.
I was thinking about this, like as we were sort of talking on this thread, which is, you know, my dad died very suddenly, very unexpectedly when I was 33 weeks pregnant. And, the 1 year anniversary of that is a week from today.
Wow.
It's been really hard. I mean, there were days it's sometimes I think when you are running stuff and then you have, you know, you put a baby, like a newborn baby in the mix. It's not just that, it's like the end of pregnancy, which is very physically difficult. Like both of my pregnancies, I don't know about you, cause you're running these businesses. Both of my pregnancies were really tough. I mean, I was sick, nausea, like just ill the whole time to delivery. And then I had on the first one, I had some, you know, physical sort of challenges and stuff. And so then you kind of get over that and you have the baby and now you're recovering and then you're trying to take care of your baby. And then, yeah, my dad died and I just admired him so much. He was just such an important part of me that I'm almost like, sometimes I'm really drawn to the people that knew me before, because I'm like different now after this happened. It's like, and I, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to be like that person again. So I like being around people who knew me then.
Different how?
I just don't think I'll ever be the same. I just feel
it's a very big part of your life.
It's like this person who, it's like your parent, right? Your parent dies and it's so sudden. Like I saw my dad 10 days before he died, you know, and I saw him all the time, like every week, every couple weeks with my parents, and everything has changed. It's very destabilizing. And I just think after something like that happens, the grief changes you. It just changes who you are. And for a while, there was a period where after it happened, I was so devastated and I was, you know, 33 weeks pregnant. I hadn't told a lot of people I was pregnant, not because I wasn't telling people. I just kind of got soul busy. Like I was like, all right, I got this like toddler and I'm doing this and I'm doing my business and I'm just like on this path. And like when, you know, and I didn't show for a long time. And so it wasn't really a thing. And then all of a sudden I kind of popped up, and that week, I'll never forget, like the week before my dad died, I was like, this is like and you know, you also get nervous as you get older. Like, is everything going to be okay? Is everything going to work out? You know, just health-wise, I just wanted to be really cautious. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to like start telling people. And then this thing happened and everything blew loose. And I'm just different now. I just think I really feel so grateful for like every day, like saying that I mean that truly. Like, I'm grateful that I woke up today.
I think about that moment in this conversation when you said that, because I really resonate with gratitude. I was thinking of some content ideas that I was going to film, and I was thinking, like, what's your biggest business hack or business advice? And honestly, I think my answer would be gratitude, just because, like, at the end of the day, like, or just life personally or professionally, it's like life is so fragile and so fleeting. And it's in the end of the day, like, when we look back on our life, like, none of this really existed or happened. And like, it's just a blip. And I think what happened to you is you got slapped in the face with perspective.
Yeah, totally.
You got, like, punched in the face with perspective, and you were like, whoa, what the fuck? And then you were like, wait, gratitude. I really respect that you're saying, like, because, you know, we had Jake, our brother who, you know, doesn't walk.
Yeah, your mom's podcast was like
insane.
Oh, it was really amazing.
She's an amazing woman, and she's been through so much shit.
Amazing. Talk about perspective.
Yeah.
Like, all the silly things we worry about in business, and this and that, and a customer's upset, and which always happens, because when you build a business and you put yourself out there, and then you think about that. I remember she told that story about driving to the hospital and seeing the family in the car next to her, and they were, or it was like in the waiting room. She told this really poignant story about just perspective and like thinking about how there's always someone that has something, a bigger challenge than you.
She did say something like that.
With the biggest challenges.
I know, you were thinking of Lindsay. I think it was when her sister passed away. I think perspective is a gift. And I think it's like going back to life is rigged in your favor. I think it's in those hardest moments, it's hard to see that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that the death of your father is rigged in your favor, but I that's not my implication. But I think it's the hardest. It challenges your spirituality and everything you know about yourself when you're in the hardest moments of your life. And then you're like, wait, who am I? Because you're like, can I rise to this occasion of bringing everything I've known myself to be past this point of, in your case, grief, or, you know, 33 weeks pregnant with physical stress on your body, and then now add the mental stress of what you just went through.
It's very hard.
That's like different level hard, you know, because like then of course you're also the mother and you're thinking about the baby that's in your womb and what are these thoughts and these tears doing to the child that's inside me. But then talk about the different level of, like, you know, you talk about losing a parent, like the person that raised you, like, and then you are a parent now. So it's like this weird kind of perspective of that where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You know? It's a very emotionally charged time, and it's hard. And the people who you just never forget the people who were around you. But there is this feeling, like, I do feel a lot of times, like, when people knew me before, I think there's this, like, I'm drawn to those people in my life because they knew me and my dad was here and he was such a part of my life that I'm like, oh, like, by extension, like, you knew my dad.
Right.
Like, that's one of the hard things, because it's like, how do you tell someone about this person that meant so much to you that isn't here anymore? Like, my son will never know my dad. That's really hard. So I have to try to keep that. But my daughter does. But I have to, you know, keep that memory alive. But he was like the greatest. I mean, he was soul busy, I think. He was my dad. After he died, the people that came, there were so many people that came to his celebration of life that I couldn't get in. I came from out of town. And I, like, couldn't get in. The lobby was, like, full. And it was kind of in this, like, theater thing. I mean, there were over 700 people.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And there were people there that came that were, like, he called me every day when I was going through this personal challenge. He visited me in the hospital when I had surgery. Things that, like, we didn't know that he had done for people. That's things beautiful. That people he had supported, and people were like, I did business with him 20 years ago and I'll never forget. It was, you know, great. And he was a great person, and he was great. And he was a sensitive person, and he had a deep soul and was a kind person. And if I was ever whipped up about something, which, you know, I get, as we do, right, get like wound up about things, he would really put it into perspective and just be like, hey, does it help you? I mean, even my sister told me, I told her, like, recently something, I'm, like, really stressed and, like, worried about this. And she said, well, I think dad would say, what does worrying do for you?
Right. In this moment? That's what our mom says for sure.
That doesn't do anything.
It's not serving you.
Losing Matt it's just such a loss for me, but I gained so much perspective in life. And none of us the thing about tragedy and grief is like, none of us is spared from it.
Right.
We're all going to experience it at some point in some form. And I don't want anyone to have to, but like right after I lost my dad, two of my very good friends, my best friend and another very good friend from growing up, both lost a parent within 6 months of my dad dying. And I felt like maybe I was going through that to be able to be there for them.
To be the helper that you are, the guide.
To be a helper, to be
your purpose. You know,
and sometimes like when someone else has something like this happen and it's so close to you, like in some days I would like want to be helpful. And then I would spiral down into my own like, oh my God, you know, cause you just miss this person.
Well, yeah. Right? I mean, this person, your father was in your life, like ever since you were born. So like you lived this entire life with him as your person, calling him telling you not to worry. I mean, there's no rule book for this either.
There's no answers
and there's no rule book and it's not a fun feeling. And I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry too.
Thank you. And I think like, those are the words, like when someone says that you just I instantly am like, thank you. Cause that's kind of all it's like, what can anyone really,
nothing.
There's nothing to say
other than I'm sorry.
May his memory be a blessing. Like it's all the same shit over and over again.
I do love that this community of people, like what a nice feeling, even if you didn't know he did those things, like you knew he was great, but look at how many other people he touched. Like that's a nice feeling.
I have a takeaway from that though, because it's a beautiful way to live your life, right? Like being a helpful person and like, look at the way your dad impacted so many people and like created this web of like, living outwardly. Like it's really beautiful.
You do the same.
You are that. Yeah.
Thanks. You're that. I mean, doing this podcast, you do not have, you have a lot going on. Doing this podcast and putting people on and calling people and bringing them on here to tell their stories and getting people to open up because it means something to someone. That's being a helper. Someone texted me last week some photos of my dad from the late 1970s. And I was like, oh, like these are such great photos. Like, you know, and the person was like, yeah, I was in the car with this person yesterday. And the person was going on and on about how great he was. And he was so great. And I just thought, man, you know, at the end of our days, like, I really hope that there's someone out there, that there's someone that I impacted enough that they would remember me and think about me in that way. And I think about them.
That's an interesting perspective. And it's like, how would you be remembered is like how you should live. And I have to remind myself of that too, from time to time. Like, I think that's when, like you say, like as we are, or as we do, you know, like get frustrated or stressed or anxious or like in business, that's a very normal thing, right? Like I find myself sometimes my spirituality hits my bitch side and I'm like, what the fucking
fuck. You're like frustrated.
I'm frustrated and I'm just like, that's annoying. Or you did something that pissed me off or you didn't do something and that pissed me off. And then I'm like, wait, whoa. Come back to your meaning. Come back to your perspective. Come back to the gift. Come back to your life. Does it really matter? And it's like, it's an endless cycle for me. It's not about that I'm always perfect or that I'm always soul busy or that I'm always fucking meditative or in a Taoist state. It's not that. It's that these modalities, these tools, these mindsets, these thinkings, this narrative, the way life is rigged in your favor, this mentality, the language you use is the embodiment of soul busy that can help you get back on the ladder, back on the staircase, whatever the metaphor is, back up, stand back up, you know,
managing
people. Yeah, be resilient. Whatever your challenges are, if you can have that resilience and you can I think surrounding yourself, we've talked about this a lot, surrounding yourself with the people that like have your back.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a bunch of people.
No, small circle.
It's small circle. It's like the core people that if you just were breaking down and needed someone to listen, that you could call and they would be there and no questions asked and be there for you. No judgment. And it's like that level of resilience. I think also death, grief, sickness, right? Prolonged illness and health challenges also give you some perspective on how short the time is that we're here.
So
right?
Short.
It's not really, right?
It's shorter than short.
We don't have all the time in the world. So how do we use our time?
It's like a depressing thought too, though. Like sometimes I get really wound up in that thought. And like, it's a really hard thought for me to get out of my head.
I know.
It's probably a tough one.
Because you have kids now.
Yeah. It's definitely a perspective of, well, cause I'm like, it's this endless loop of like, does it matter? It doesn't matter. It does matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. And I, it's almost too philosophical in my head, you know,
nothing changed my life more than the saying of nothing matters. Like, because those type of things and like holding on to the little things, like that really can screw people up and waste time. And
you got to live in the present.
Wasted time is not good.
Got to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. And
this is a very good conversation,
but I wouldn't count yourself out on, I know you were talking about like, I'm not the same, but like you also have time on your side need. Like, I wouldn't count yourself out of being the same or not the same. I think you need more time.
Yeah, it's like not a lot of time.
I would just say, happened. Like,
yeah, it's like, not. It feels like a long time when you're in it.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot of time. And there's an evolution. I mean, the best evolution in all of this, my sister is very kind of wise and good at this. And one of the things is, you know, she has a busy career and two young kids, and they're really active and involved in their community and everything from their school to sports to, you know, you name it. And so after this happened with my dad, there was kind of a business opportunity she was interested in pursuing and opening a particular kind of business. She has a full-time job, a very busy full-time job, also in commercial real estate. And she sort of, on evenings and weekends, decided to pursue this like other business opportunity in addition to the work that she's doing, including like working like shift work alongside the folks that work in this business to learn about that business and how it works. So it would be almost like if she was like, hey, I'm going to come work at Parler. Can you give me like a few 8-hour shifts over the coming week? And I'll do, and she's been doing that, you know, with her evenings and weekends and stuff. And she's like learning so much. And her way of channeling her grief was really focused on learning. How do I grow from this? I'm passionate about this. I don't have infinite amounts of time, you know.
Channeling.
It's the question of like, what would you do if you weren't afraid?
It's interesting. I can't relate exactly to that, but I had that lesson this week in an interesting way too, where I was just like, I can learn anything I want to learn. It was very motivating to me. And that's why I got in bed last night and started reading about ROAS. Cause I was like, I want to be the expert of everything I do. I was like, I want to know every terminology, but I like that concept of learning. I think that is a very soul busy concept. I'd like to go back to something you said though, which is like this topic of like being soul busy, not being soul busy, having a tragedy, but also comparison is a thief, social media, right? Like the irony, you worked at Meta, but like, from my perspective, you know, whether I'm on like, maybe I'm like the D list of your circle, right? Like of like your inner circle. No, I'm not saying like I'm like the D list. I'm just saying like, you know, like you have your,
she's the loser of your circle.
No, like you have your inner circle. I'm a friend, but like I'm a distant friend, whatever it is, but like I'm there. I'm watching your life, right? Like on social media. And like, A, I didn't know you were pregnant.
No one did.
Right?
People were like, oh my God, I came to your dad's celebration of life and I came in like from the lobby where I was stuck and kind of couldn't get in and came down and I was like, oh, okay, I can like get in and walked all the way down to the thing and like turned around and there were people that were like,
yeah, no,
like I turned to the side.
People you just like gave what? Birth in my
I'm
eyes.
Just, like, you know, crazy.
In, from my, where I sit and I like look at all your stories and like, I like to stay up to date on your life. Like all of a sudden there was just like a baby boy. I'm like, what the hell? Like, where did this baby come from? Like what's going on? But then also then you were like, and then I didn't know that your dad had passed away, right? So like I see the baby and I'm like, I'm so happy for you. But I felt like an energy, like there was something. I was like, something's going on. I don't know why. Maybe it was a psychic moment.
I went off of everything the day my dad died. So I did not post anything. I did not say anything. I did not like anyone's things. I deleted those apps. I didn't see anyone's stuff. I didn't comment. And there were a lot of people reaching out because I'm not like super active, but I will. I mean, you guys, we follow each other.
No, your stories are funny. I laugh.
I, But like sometimes I'll post stuff or like it's a small group of people that I know very well personally. So I don't, I will share stuff there that's personal. But after that happened, I just felt, I was like mute. I like couldn't talk about it. I was just like, I can't talk to anyone. I'm like hiding. And people were texting me like, hey, like, hope everything's okay. I haven't like seen you, which is kind of a weird thing to think about. Like, I haven't seen you like on Instagram or whatever. People were like reaching out to check in, like, are you okay? And then I wasn't okay. And then once the baby was born, and I think after the new year, I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to lose like this time in my life that's like exciting with my baby. And I want people to know about him. And so I'm ready, but I felt very insecure. I think like losing a parent, and I have read about this, there's a dimension of like yourself, you have like your confidence takes a hit because it's like someone who's like a part of you.
Interesting.
I didn't even think about that. And then later I read it and I was like, oh, that's like my feeling.
I get exactly. that. Cause like, those are like the two people that are always on my side or yeah. not when that I do something.
In your court.
There, yeah. Like, it's just like, no matter what, even if I don't like her for a second, like I'm calling my mom. So yeah. I understand what you're saying. That makes yeah. sense.
When do you not like me?
Sometimes.
Oh.
And then sometimes I'll like turn off, you know, like if I have a story, if people can message me or not message me, cause I feel like it's like a lot of like inbound
energy, yeah.
you know, it's like, and sometimes I'm like, oh, well, like we can all react to each other's stuff. Like, but I don't know. It was the instinct. Now I will say going off of social media for the 2 or 3 months, I was completely off was awesome.
I bet it was great. I have a love hate relationship with it.
I know.
I just find it funny though. It like great. From my perspective, watching you not knowing you were pregnant, you know, everybody has this version of what they think somebody else's life looks like. I find that in comments people say to me, like, and I'm just like, you're like, just don't even understand what my, like, you don't know what my life is like internally. It's like all good. It's a beautiful life. But I'm just saying like everyone forms this own cloud of like what somebody else's life is happening. And to me, I'm like, she's in California, like bouncing around town, like with her hot husband, who's like a doctor and like her adorable daughter, Hope. And like, da, 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 like, you know, like she's a corporate bitch. Like she's the boss. She went to Harvard, like all these things, you know what I mean? Like I'm formulating. Meanwhile, you're over there like, birthing a child while dealing with the biggest grief of your life, like in a shitstorm, like trying to stay afloat, like
yeah,
social media barely. It's like somebody throw me like a life jacket. It's just I find it very interesting the whole concept of like perspective and perception of like what you think someone's life is, yet what's happening behind the scenes is always vastly different.
Yeah, you never know. And also like. With Mike and, you know, his business, I mean, he's in private practice. That takes a lot. He works a lot, right? And people don't see that. He doesn't really share on social because he doesn't have a lot of time to do that. And I don't know if he has, like, the interest to do that either. But it's like you never really see, like, the hard days, the hard work that you put in, like, the one person doing bedtimes. Okay, now I'm traveling on business. He's doing the mornings. Right. Now we're doing the handoff. Oh, shoot. You know, we don't have childcare today. What are we going to do? Right. You know, there's just a lot of that. I think there's an element, though, that people often miss when it comes to when someone's going through something or just when people are living their lives and trying to do like big things. Just you have to show up.
Yes.
And that really differentiated for me the people who were just kind of the like, hope you're okay. And the people who like showed up even when I was like, don't show up.
I read that quote the other day. I don't know where I read it. I think it was Jesse Seitzler, Sarah Blakely's husband.
Yeah.
He was doing a speech and he was saying something like, when you're going through a time of hardship, there's people that use words and then there's people that show up at your doorstep.
Love that.
And my mom taught us that. She was like, don't ever ask someone who's going through shit, what can I do for you? Because what you think they're going to say, you think they're going to list out some shit you can do. Yeah. You know, I really need a pedicure. I'm looking for, you know, I'd like a meatless lasagna actually. And I'm looking, you know, could you book me a massage? That's not going to come out of their mouth. So it's like, you either are the person that shows up because you're that person or you're not. So I love that. Yeah. And I think it's a very important message.
I love that quote. I'm going to look it up.
I knew
my
that was coming.
Very good friend, one of my best friends from business school. I'll never forget this. I remembered it weeks later in the aftermath of my dad's death, which happened in the middle of the afternoon on like an ordinary Monday. Actually a beautiful, the weather was gorgeous. I remember thinking like, this is so great. It's almost October. The baby's going to come in November. Like it was the weirdest day and everything happened. And she, I think, texted me. I don't know if Mike texted her. She texted me. Something happened. I was like not on my phone. And all of a sudden, all this food showed up to our house. And I remember like eating from the fridge for like 4 or 5 days, like through all this food, but never really like thinking about it. And I remember Mike saying that she had like called him and was like, I'm going to send a bunch of stuff. What's your favorite place to order from? I'm just going to order a bunch of stuff and like sent all this food. And like weeks later, I remembered, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what, I mean, I couldn't put two and two together.
Right.
She had sent all this food and we like ate all this food and it was just kind of kept us fueled. And it was one really big thing. And she got it because she had lost her mom right after we graduated from business school. And, you know, at that time, I dropped everything. Like, this is like, got on a plane, went to, you know, the middle of Alabama for this service, left the service, got back on a plane and flew to like a business trip somewhere that I was going. And like, that's, I think you do that because this person is your friend. There's nothing like, I wanted this person. I didn't see her there. We didn't connect there. She was with her family, but it didn't matter because I wanted this person to know, like, I was there. I'm here. If you need me, I'm here. If you don't need me, I'm back. I've got your back.
Right.
And she did the same for me. And she was like in Hong Kong when my dad died and did that and came from Hong Kong to his celebration of life.
I like her.
I love
her. That is soul busy.
It is 100%. I also think part of that is my takeaway is the small circle, which we've talked about before, is like, I only have the capacity with the life that I'm currently living to give 100% to those types of people. Yeah. It's a close friend. You know what I mean? Like there's certain people that I can give that to. And there's extensions I can't. So it's just a beautiful friendship. I don't want to transition from your father's passing to prenups, but I am going to, because we talked about the topic of money, you know, like, and then also, by the way, just maybe this is a softer transition. You gave birth, went through the biggest grief of your life, and then launched a new corporate venture that is about prenups and money. And like, you know, my husband's a financial advisor.
Yes.
He taught me a lot about money, like, and his dad is like super smart, but he had to learn. He learned from the best, which is his father. And I never grew up really talking about, my dad always said money makes people funny and numbers don't lie. Those two thoughts kind of stick out in my mind. And I think it's really important, but I never grew up like talking about those things, you know? And I think it's important, but I also think it's important to learn skills around money that we don't learn growing up. And you created a business that's all about prenups. And I want to hear about it and the why.
Sure. So after my last sort of corporate tech company role, I knew for a while that I had wanted to start a company, and just the timing was never really right. Like I had always kind of moved from one corporate role to the next, or in the case of when I met you, I'd moved from my corporate role to business school. And so I thought, gosh, the timing feels really right. Let's go like explore out there in the market. What is something that people spend a lot of time and money on that should be much less time and much less money and more mainstream? And so spent a lot of time sort of exploring this and ultimately landed upon our idea for this company, which is called First. You can check us out at thisfirst.com. So right now we do prenuptial agreements online.
So cool.
End to end. If you're familiar with TurboTax, like how people do their taxes.
I love TurboTax.
Okay. So it's similar to that, right? We have an online platform. You can come on, share all the information about your assets and how you want those to be treated, and go into a review with a real lawyer, and ultimately end up with a prenuptial agreement. The vision for our company is not just prenups, right? The vision is that you could come to First and you could do any type of agreement that you would want to do. So if you need a letter of guardianship for your kids because you're going out of town, or you need any type of legal agreement. The vision for our company is really that, you know, we can help you with those needs, but we're starting here and it's an exciting place to start. Because I always say, you know, the most expensive decisions we make are in business and in love.
Agreed.
And so it's true. Like, we talk to customers all the time and people are like, look, I've worked really hard. People are marrying later than any other generation. And people come into this, women come into this, having started awesome businesses. You know, women have surpassed men in the US as, homeowners of single family homes and are starting all kinds of businesses and doing different kinds of things. And we also have people that come to us that have intellectual property, whether they, you know, are writers or produce art in some way. And so it's really inspiring to see how we can bring people together to have these conversations about money, because these are fundamentally conversations about money. How do you want your money to be treated in the event we ever separate or in the event we ever divorce?
Right.
And like your dad says, right, the numbers don't lie. So if you look at the stats on separation or divorce, they're still high enough that like having this type of agreement, you know, is something that we think is, you know, a great idea, because it allows you the ability to customize and craft for yourself how you want your finances to be treated in the event, you know, things don't work out.
Is it wills too, or just is it?
Right now we only do prenuptial agreements.
Interesting. Well, I think it's a very smart business. I love the way you said like that you explored the market, because I often find in my experience when people come to me and they're looking for advice, they're like, I want to start a business. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, it's a skill set to own a business and it's a skill set to run one. And if the idea is something you're passionate about, there has to be a need for in the market for that business to thrive. Otherwise it's going to go nowhere. So I love that that started with an exploration period.
It's cool though.
Where you're like, what is needed and why, how can I solve this problem? So that's obviously genius. But second, it's like, I don't have a prenup. Like I don't know. It's like, it wasn't a topic. It wasn't a thing. Yeah. It was just like,
did you guys talk about money before you got married? I mean, this is what Mike does. Or Carly, you just got married. Like, did you guys spend a lot of time talking about money before you got married?
I'm like just very open, blunt, and honest. Like that, I have to be on the same page with my partner. How much do you make? This is what I make. This is what I can contribute.
Is that what you mean?
This is what you're paying for.
Talk about money, like how much we each make.
Yeah, for example, people spend hundreds of hours wedding planning. Think about all the time you both spent wedding planning, or all of us spent wedding planning. But sometimes when we talk to people, we're like, how long have you spent wedding planning? Oh, a year. Okay. Well, do you and your partner talk about money? Oh, well, no.
Okay. Yeah. No, we definitely talk about money.
And I actually have a friend who her and her husband, they don't even discuss it. And then they like silently fight about it. Like, but they don't talk about it. So I'm like, why don't you just talk about it? I can't.
It's hard for people to talk about money.
I know.
Money is funny.
Money makes you act like funny. It's true.
Good tagline.
It does. And so I think because of the experience that I had at SoFi and really sort of seeing how if you are motivated financially, right, you can make a lot happen for yourself, but you have to get fluent in the F word, which is like finances.
Right.
You have to get fluent. And a lot of people are like, I don't know about that. I don't even know where to begin. It's too big of a topic. And we've talked a lot in this pod about learning, and like everything is learnable. Everything is figure it outable. Definitely. Right. Like you can do it. Do whatever you want to do. You can figure it out, especially with the internet at your fingertips. Like you can figure a lot of things out very quickly.
Like people are blind to that. I don't know why. It's so funny. And ChatGPT has changed our lives.
Oh my God. Absolutely. I love Chat. Yeah, Chat's my best friend.
When we found out about it, I was like screaming at the top of my lungs. I was like, you're lying that this is the best thing ever.
So bizarre.
I mean, so it's like, how do we use the tools in front of us? How do we get smart about using the tools in front of us? And so created this business, have a great, awesome team. And, you know, like you, we have many challenges that we sort of every day we're just like, you know, up and at them with a great team. And I think the team is really like the biggest part.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And one of the things I say and tell people, which I think this is I will caveat this with, I don't think this is a very popular thing to say, but I think it is an honest thing to say, and it will resonate with some people and will not with others, is when my dad died, the team that I had and the work that we were doing and our mission and my company saved me.
Oh, I fully believe that. It saved
me.
Well, I think in another way of phrasing it, it's like having a purpose allowed you to be alive. Yes. And it gave you a purpose to continue living.
I do think that's an issue for a lot of people though. Cause like I had a close friend and her dad died and they were very, very close a couple of years ago. And she doesn't find purpose in her job. Like, and like wants to, like she's a really great worker, but it's, I'm always pushing, like, find a different one. Do this. Try this. Have you tried this? Have you tried this? And people don't have that innate feeling. They're just like, it's a job. It brings me money.
Yeah.
You know, this is, but
well, maybe people need to hear this message, though. You know what I mean? Like, that life is rigged in your favor and you can always find a solution to every problem. I agree with you very much about the team aspect, though.
Me too.
It is.
Like, and you guys have always been very big on the team piece. Like, who's on your team? A lot of the folks on your team, to my knowledge, have been with you for some time.
Yeah.
You have a model for what you're looking for. You're very specific on what you're looking for. That matters a lot, because if you're showing up every day, like Carly, to your friend's point, and you want to be doing great work, but you're not feeling motivated for whatever reason, or you're not learning as much as you could be learning, or maybe you're just like craving more. Like that story about my sister and like doing the evening and weekend work inside of this other business because she wants to learn about that business. Like that's someone who's like motivated to learn more, who's like really just seeking out more growth and personal growth and information and whatever. For me, it was the consistency. It was like every morning we have a team meeting. This is the team meeting. I know I'm going to show up for that. Everyone else is going to be there for that. You know, I'm going to show up to that team meeting having probably put clothes on.
Structure.
Showered, it's that structure of, okay, I know what to expect from today, right? It's not like I open up my eyes and now it's like, well, what's the next 24 hours look like? There was a lot of more structure to it, which enabled me to like kind of get back on the saddle, so to speak, and keep moving.
I think too, like you can create structure even if you don't necessarily have like a purpose or a passion. Like I have two different friends I've been talking to recently. One works from home and so it's a problem for her because she like wants to get, she's like get me out of this house. Like I need.
Yeah.
And so like we talked through it, like no judgment. Like you were saying, that kind of friend, and I was like, go rent an office, go to a coffee shop, go here, go there, do this, do that. Like, and we talked through it and we're like, oh, like that's a perfect solution. You know what I mean? Like you can create structure when there is no structure. And like, let's say you don't have a job, right? And like, you're a stay-at-home mom and like, there's transition in your life. Like you can also find structure in the tasks that you need to do by time blocking your schedule or by, you know, finding something in the morning that can be a routine. Or like, I think it's just like, what are your personal rituals? Like that's the theme of this entire conversation help you be well.
It doesn't always have to be a job because like on the weekend, say people don't work and they want to still have purpose. Like maybe they're taking their kids to the pumpkin patch or like there's like, I'm laughing. Yeah. I'm laughing because we're doing that.
Wait, I love that. I love the pumpkin patch. I would do that, but it's going to be like 95 degrees here, which feels like
California loser.
No, I loved that about the East Coast. I'm so into that. How fun. But yeah, I agree. It's like, what are the things you look forward to?
Plans.
What are your plans? And they don't have to be fancy plans.
No. Like I texted Rachel this morning. I said, what are you doing Saturday? I'm coming. Like,
and I said my exact plans with the exact timing, with the exact agenda.
She did.
Because
she said 9 a.m.
I said, premeditated, right? Like I have to, Mike's mom is a home alone this weekend. And I know that her husband is traveling, my father-in-law. And I was like, oh, well, we need to make time for her because we need to, I don't want her to eat dinner alone. So like I had to bring that in. And then we have some friends who are going through a hard time. We need to fit that in. And then I was like, and I also need self-care. I need to fit that in. It's all just a premeditated purpose. And then I meditated this morning. I was like, I love my plans. Like I love the next two weeks, love my life.
Plans, the things to look forward to. I think you need those little things. I think at work too, like when you have the little wins at work or the big wins at work, it's like, those are so motivating to keep going.
I love little wins. Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. I love those wins. And, we're all practicing. This is like a practice and we're just learning as we go. And, you know, I think, you know, I love this. I love what you're building with this because it's so true to who you are.
Thank
being soul busy. It's so true to who the both of you are, and you're soul busy in different ways. You know, there are parts of me that are like very black and white, like very, I work and I do this and very structured, but there are also parts of me that are like, you know, I took my team for an offsite, and as part of it, we went down to the beach in Santa Monica and we did a sound bath.
Love.
Amazing.
And team was like vibrating afterward.
And it's a new adventure for the team, right? Like, it doesn't mean that we were texting about this. Like, we brought our team to a retreat and I offered a meditation. Yeah. It was an open thing. Whoever wants to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. But it's like, people walked away and they felt connection and they felt purpose. Yeah. And they were like, oh, something new, you know? Like, there's always something new you can do that, like, is fun to look forward to, you know?
When you are, especially in the work that we do, like, you have work that is in many ways very, it's very creative. You're building brands, you're building companies. It's very tactile. You know, if you're building a technology startup, often you're at your computer in front of a screen, you're on your keyboard. And it's like, what better way to just completely go to the other end of the spectrum than to get in front of the ocean, no shoes, get grounded in the sand, lay on the sand, like facing the sun, and have somebody guide you through just taking this moment for you.
Yeah.
Being taking present. This moment to think about what you care about and what's important to you, and listening, and that connection to noise and sound and frequency. It was really a powerful experience. And so I think also sometimes putting yourself in positions, like, I don't think many people on that team knew what to expect because I don't think they had ever done that. I have done a sound bath before and loved it and thought it was really fun with a bunch of colleagues from work in a similar context. But how do we push ourselves to kind of get out of our comfort zone? The other thing I think it's very important is when you're always learning, there's never a bad time to start.
Right.
There's never a bad time to restart rituals or things you like to do or things that give you peace, or like, any time is the right time to kind of restart a habit or something that's healthy.
I definitely think it's a problem to never start though. Cause like there's parts of me that could have been like the same out of college and like never changed, but like, that there's no fun in that.
But I always say this, which is just start. Just start something. Like, you want to start a business, start researching, get a notebook out, write a bunch of ideas down, just start. Cause when you start, it just builds on itself. When you don't start, sometimes you have to be the one that gives yourself that giant shove into where you're going. That's really, for me, emblematic of my entire existence as like a human, is I shoved my own self. No one else was like, notice in my story, it's not like, well, my mom wanted me to be a doctor, so then I like went to med school, right?
It's the same thing as you can't lose weight for somebody else. It's like,
yeah, you can't do any of these things for somebody else. You have to do them intrinsic. Because of you, and give yourself the giant push to go and start. And I think when you start, amazing things can happen.
Well, ladies, I feel like I could go run a marathon.
This is a very motivating thing.
I'm gonna go. I don't want to run.
Me neither.
I'm not getting started.
Fuck that.
I'm never running a fucking marathon. I really feel passionate about this entire conversation. I thought it was very full circle. Okay. I want to conclude. I just want to say one thing about what you said about running a technology startup and then doing a sound bath meditation. I think the theme of this podcast is the contrast of it all, right? Like the yin and yang. The balance. So I think what I really respect, like, you know, that your team is sitting at a computer and they're like all day long, like their eyes are like probably zoning out of their head. And then you're like, I need to bring them to the complete opposite spectrum of that. And I think that that is the healthiest version of what soul busy means. Knowing what you need with clarity, knowing how to sacrifice, knowing that comparison is the thief of joy, and that like, you can do anything you want and just start. Like, you want to start meditating, start tomorrow. Like, just start doing breath work. Like, just find a little path. Like, you want to start eating gluten-free, like, shut the fuck up and just do it. You know, like, just go. Like, just
good for you. I can't wait to hear about that.
I really like it.
I love that.
Find your solutions.
And last thing, which you really emphasized, and even when you talked about your plans, it's like, be a helper.
Yes.
Like, show up. Be a giver. Show up on the doorstep for people, because sometimes it means more it means more than you could ever even understand in that moment for people. And I think like that helps our souls when we help other people with no expectation of anything.
I like 100%. That you ended with that, because I agree. It's, you should give with nothing in return. And it's a beautiful thing. Could you please tell our followers where to find you and like how to follow you on social media and your businesses?
Yeah. If you want to follow First, which I hope you will, you can check us out on Instagram at This First, and you can check our website, www.thisfirst.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn if you just search Libby Leffler. And I hope that there are people that will connect with me. I know you guys have awesome followers, and I see all the comments and the engagement on your posts. And so, again, if you are someone who, you know, this conversation meant something to you in some way, or you are someone who, you know, is dealing with grief, or is, you know, grief is part of your life, you know, please reach out. I think, you know, community and connection is really like one of the most powerful things when you're dealing with something like that. And so I'd love to be connected to anyone who wants to.
I love you for that. Thank you.
That's really kind. I love you. I'm so glad to catch up with you. I find you to be so inspiring.
It's like the warmest hug.
So inspiring. Nice. I love you for life.
Like, love you so much.
Thank you, Libby.